Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, page 504 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll begin with verse 14 and read through the end of the chapter. The 15th verse is the text verse. We have yet another text verse we'll be turning to after a moment. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 14 through 19, page 504. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, and stamped it, and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Turn now to Matthew chapter 27, page 1043. Matthew 27, we'll read just one verse, the 55th verse. Of course, we'll read this verse together. And let's read, please. Ready? And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You've given us a great day. But we thank you, too. It's not over yet. We've got a whole service here before us of preaching. Thank you for the blessing and joy of just being here in the place where your people meet and where God's man preaches the word. We pray for your blessing and for your power. Give us great care to listen and to gain from that, from the service, that which you'd have us to. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
And now, our Heavenly Father, we want to please thee tonight. That's our desire. And to please thee most and best, we will have to let you work through us. So work through this preacher tonight, the hearts of these dear people. Just please help us, strengthen us, encourage us, bless us, and use us. Amen. I want to read, without your turning to it, one of the passages. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and on the uttermost part of the earth. The thing I want to call to your attention is that little line, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That always bothered me. Witnesses unto me. I thought the idea was to witness unto the unsaved. But it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is Jesus talking. And it reminds me of the passage that says that they ministered unto the Lord. They ministered unto the Lord. How did they minister unto the Lord? Well, they're ministering to the lost and the needy, but the Bible says they ministered to the Lord. I do not think that's talking about the passage that where Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." I want to speak tonight on the subject, ministering unto the Lord. There is a way that man can witness unto Jesus. Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, not all witnessing is that kind. And I'm saying that if your witnessing is not that kind, it is certainly not bad witnessing. But there is a witnessing that is not only a witnessing to the unsaved, but a witnessing unto Jesus. There is a way that we can minister to the Lord. Now, not all ministering is ministering to the Lord. Sometimes you can feed someone who's hungry, and that's wonderful, but that's not ministering to the Lord. You're ministering to them, and God is pleased with that. However, there is a way the Bible speaks of that tells us that while we minister to others, it is also a ministry unto the Lord. There is a witnessing and a ministering with which He is pleased, but it does not minister to Him. But there is a higher graduate work kind of ministry where He is more pleased, where we not only minister and witness to individuals, but we likewise minister and witness unto Him. Now, what is that kind? Now, follow me very carefully. What is the difference? And you walk out and you give you buy a meal for some hungry person, and you minister to them. But now there is a way that you can minister to them, and in doing the same thing, you're ministering unto the Lord. Now, what is the difference? What is this kind of ministering? Now, it is not in the ministering itself. For example, it is not in buying a steak instead of a hamburger steak or a ground round. That's not the difference. It's not that you do more for Him. But there is a way that you can minister to individuals and likewise minister unto the Lord. And this is it. The kind that lets Him do it through us. You see, Jesus wants somebody not to do it, but for somebody through whom He can do it. Now, He wants the hungry fed. And if you do it yourself, He's pleased with that. He wants the naked clothed. I like to clothe half the naked women around this nation now. But He wants the naked clothed. And if you do it, buy a coat for somebody in cold weather. Oh, bless the thought. By the way, this is that weather for which you prayed last January, in case you'd like to know. But Jesus is pleased when you buy somebody a coat who is cold, even if you do it yourself and minister to the person. That pleases Him. It pleases Him infinitely more if you do it to Him. And the difference is the kind that lets Him do it through you. Now the question comes, what determines whether or not He does it through us? I said already, the Lord is pleased when the poor are fed, the naked are clothed, the lost are saved. We're ministering to people. The Lord is pleased. But He is extra pleased and more pleased when we minister to Him through the same deeds. Now, the difference is basically this. Letting Him do it through us. I said a while ago, He isn't looking for someone to do it. He's looking for someone through whom He can do it. Let's put it this way. If a hungry person gets fed or a cold person gets clothed, the Lord is pleased about that. But He's more pleased if He gets to do it Himself. But He can't do it Himself unless He does it through you. So when someone yields himself to the Holy Spirit and God does it through him, then that pleases Jesus more. And in doing that, we are ministering unto Him as well as to the individual, because it pleases Him to get to do it through us. Now, He looks for someone, as I said, not to do it, but through whom He can do it. Now, the answer is wrapped up in this. How then can I let Him do it through me? The answer is in our text. They sought Him with their whole desire. The 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 15. They sought Him with their whole desire. Now, there is a way that you can... Okay, we're taking up an offering for the United Fund, and somebody gives somebody the United Fund. Now, I doubt very seriously if God's going to give many rewards for a person happens to give something through United Fund. You're supposed to do it, and I'm not fighting that tonight. It's not my favorite way of giving, by the way, but I'm not fighting that tonight. But a casual kind of a gift. Okay, you walk into a store, and there's a little box there and says, deposit your change here to help the muscular dystrophy campaign. And you put your chains there. You've not done it. And of course, you sprout wings and a halo comes over your head as far as you're concerned. But I doubt if God is very impressed with that. Now, He's glad about that because God wants your 9-cent chains to help those folks who have muscular dystrophy. But you won't work on many muscles with 9 cents. But there are people who, with all their hearts, want to help those that have muscular dystrophy.
And in so doing, they give with their whole desire, they give it. Now, when you do it with your whole desire, then you're ministering unto Him, because that's when He can work through you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, Romans 12:1 says, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what's He saying? He's saying that He wants you to present your body for service for others and for ministering to others. And when you present your body with your whole desire to minister to somebody else, then He ministers through you, and you're also ministering to Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, ye shall seek me and shall find when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know what's wrong with Christianity today? We don't do it with all our heart. It's a nice little one-hour tradition on Sunday morning. We come and tip God and look up and say, by the way, we still know you're there. And then that's about the size of it. God says, I want your whole heart. He said, you're ministering to me when you seek me with your whole heart, your whole desire, the Bible says. That's when you minister to God. He said, for example, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God wants all of you. Dr. Rice used to say, God wants the money, and then He wants the money's in. He wants the pants the billfold's in. He wants the man in the pants. He wants all of you. Now, you can serve God. Most of the people in this room, you're serving others, and you're helping others, and that's wonderful. But you can get the place to where you do it with all your heart. I mean, you say, I love Him with all of my heart, and my whole desire is to serve Him, and that's when you're ministering to Him. Now, again, let me say, I'm not minimizing your ministering to somebody else. I'm not minimizing your 50 cents that you put in the Salvation Army pot at Christmas time. I'm not minimizing that. I am saying that there is a place to where you can serve others and minister to others, to the place to where you're ministering to God. And that is when you do it with your whole desire and with your entire heart. That's why the Lord Jesus said, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. Yesterday afternoon, I was driving down the street and turned on the Cub game and ruined my whole day, of course. But I turned on the Cub game, and there's several things you can count on. You can count on God. You can count on the Cubs. They'll have a good first half, and they're having their June swoon or their August disgust, or but I was listening to them. And now look, anybody that goes to a ball game, there's one thing he does not want. He does not want the game rained out. But we've been wanting rain so much and wanting water so much until it started raining, and the entire crowd began to cheer for the rain. It does better than the Cubs. We're having a drought both ways. But the entire crowd began to cheer. Why? Because there is a place to where water and rain is the thing you want the most. Now, God says, when you want me, I'll pour water on you when you're thirsty. I'll pour water on you when you come to me with all your desire, when you serve me with all your strength, when you love me with all your heart. And the basic difference in Christianity tonight and 50 years ago in America is what I'm talking about. We used to minister unto the Lord. We now minister to man. Again, I say, I'm not opposed to ministering to man. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe America is going to get rain and blessings of God and everything else when God's people who are called by God's name humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Then He said He'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We're talking about, let's pray for rain. How about let's repent for rain? I mean, I saw a sign on the tavern that said, pray for rain. How about closing the tavern for rain? How about making liquor illegal for rain? How about repenting for rain? How about closing down a Playboy magazine for rain? How about burning all the penthouse stuff for rain? How about closing down your X-rated movies for rain? How about making cleaning up television for rain? God does not give rain an answer to prayer. God gives rain an answer to a nation that repents. I say again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall, one, humble themselves, two, pray, three, seek my face, four, turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and what? Heal their land. What heals land? Rain heals land. I'm simply saying that America is dying tonight because we as Christian people can't get as excited about Jesus as the world can about what it does. God is looking for somebody to love Him with all their hearts. God is looking for somebody to desire Him with their entire desire. God is looking for somebody to seek Him and seek Him with all of their hearts. Now, when you do that, you're ministering to the Lord. Now, let me say this very kindly. No, I won't be very kindly. Let me say this. All over America this morning, it's getting less and less even to this. People went to church to have a little ritual rigmarole to say to God, by the way, we haven't forgotten you. We'll come back and talk to you again next week this time, and so forth. And they gave a little offering maybe to help some poor. I do not think it's wrong that they gave the offering to help the poor. But don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing if that person decided, poor people, hungry people, needy people, I want to give my whole life to serving people. I want to give all I've got to serving them. And God says, when you get to that place, you're ministering to me as well as to them. I was on the airplane, and this is one of my favorite stories, and I've told it here numbers of times, and I'll tell it numbers of times tonight. I was on the airplane flying to, I think, Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina several years ago. Right across the aisle from me was a man that looked familiar. Older man, must have been real old man, 61 or so. He was older than that. And I looked over and I said, sir, could I ask you a question, please? With a very pronounced southern drawl, he said, yes, sir, you may. And I said, could I ask you, is your name by any chance Adolph Rupp? And he said, yes, sir, I'm Adolph Rupp. Adolph Rupp was the coach of the Kentucky Wildcat basketball team for years. Adolph Rupp won more college basketball games than any coach in the history of college basketball. I'm talking about more than Mr. Meyer at DePaul. I'm talking about more than Bobby Knight at Indiana. He didn't throw as many chairs as Bobby Knight did. But I'm talking about all of your famous basketball coaches, Mr. Smith down at North Carolina University and so forth. I said, Mr. Rupp, I've been your fan for years. I like the way you're discipline your team. I like the way you demand your team to give it all. I like the way you coach. And he said, thank you, sir. I said, my name is Jack Hiles. I pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And very graciously, Mr. Rupp said, yes, sir, I've heard of your church. He said, your church is outside Chicago. And said, I've heard of your church. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. And I said, Mr. Rupp, I'm one of your fans. We talked together for about an hour. He was going to Lexington, where he lived, and I was going to have a layover in Lexington for a few minutes. I'll stay on the same plane, but then go on down to Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina, to speak that night. I got off the airplane in Lexington just to stretch a while and go to the washroom. I went to the washroom, and I was washing my hands, and right beside me was Mr. Rupp. I did not know that he was in the washroom, and I saw him. And I said, Mr. Rupp, I understand that you're going to have to retire pretty soon because of the mandatory retirement, which I detest, by the way. And I said, then you're going to have to retire. And he said, yes, sir, that's right. And I said, Mr. Rupp, what are you going to do when you retire? His lips quivered, his eyes moistened with tears. Adolph Rupp said, sir, I guess I'll just die. I guess I'll just die. Now, what is he saying? He'd given his life to that sport. He'd given his life to coaching. It was not just a job, it was a cause. He'd given his whole heart to it. And what God is saying here, he's saying, you can minister to man by a little tip here and there, and a little gift here and there, but if you give your life to feeding the poor, and you give your life to service for God, and you seek for God with all of your heart, and you love Him with all of your heart, God said, then your ministering to man becomes also ministering to me. Now, I want to minister to you. I've wanted to all these years to minister to you. But I'd like to minister to you with such vigor and such a desire until my ministering would also be unto God as well as unto you. Paul, by the way, the word, the key word is desire. How much do you want it? That's the key word in prayer. How much do you want it? That's the key word in success. How much do you want it? How much is it worth to you? How much do you want it? You know that I won Ted Williams to Christ, the famous baseball player down in the Florida Keys preaching, and I bumped into Ted Williams, and I won't go into the story again. But I But I won Ted Williams to Christ. And I asked Ted Williams, I said, Ted, I think you're the best hitter that ever lived. The best man that ever swung a baseball bat as far as hitting is concerned. I said, how was it? He said to me, he called me Jack. I slapped him around. I said, that's Brother Hiles to you, Buster. And I'm sorry, it was more like that. And but he said, first place, he said, Jack, if I ever run for president, I want you for my campaign manager. And but looks like he's not going to make it. I've been hoping for a Williams-Jackson ticket, but it's not going to materialize, I can see. But I said, Ted, I said, why were you such a great hitter? And he said, I live for it. He says, my life. He said, in the time I was that high, I practiced. He said, I wanted to become a great hitter more than I want anything else in all the world. He said, I gave my whole life to it. I did it with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my body. It was my consuming passion. It was a cause with me. I wanted to become the best baseball hitter in the world. And that's exactly what God is saying here. God is saying, you decide to give all your heart to Him and serve Him with all of your heart, with all of your energy. And it is your whole desire, your entire desire to serve Him and love Him. He said, then I will work through you. I will give through you. I will preach through you. I will help through you. I will teach through you. I will serve through you. And in so doing, you will not only be ministering to the people who are in need, you will likewise be ministering unto me. Paul ministered to the Lord in Romans 10:1 when he said, brethren, my prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. What was he saying? He was saying, my consuming prayer to God. He said, the thing I want more than I want to live is I want Israel to be saved. He was ministering to the Lord. Paul was ministering to the Lord in Romans 9:3 when he said, I could wish myself accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh. He was saying, I'd be willing myself to die and go to hell. As I said the other night in a sermon, I'd be willing to die and go to hell if my relatives and my nation would get saved. He was the place where he was doing more than soul winning. He was ministering to the Lord. Look, there's a way that you can pray where in that prayer ministers to other people. There is a way where you can be consumed in prayer and you minister to the Lord while you pray. There's a way that you can go soul winning and minister to other people. There is a way that you can go soul winning with all of your heart, with all of your desire, and it becomes not only ministering to other people, it becomes ministering to the Lord. There's a way you can teach a Sunday school class that will minister to your students. But there is a way to where it becomes your consuming passion and you minister to God. There is a way that you can prepare in college and minister to others. But there is a way to where you're going to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the best I can. I'm going to do the best I can. I've often said, brother, anything I do, I want to give it all I've got. I've said this before, and it's a pretty good time to say this. I've said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. I've always said, if I were a skunk, I'd be the biggest stinker in the county. I'll guarantee you for sure. If I were a mad dog, I'd bite everybody I came in contact with. I just don't like anything that's halfway done. I like for people to say, as God said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Give it all you got. And when you do that, then your ministering to man becomes also ministering to God. Moses ministered to the Lord in Exodus 32:32, when he said, if you won't save me, then blot my, if you won't save my people, then blot my name out of the book of life. He said, I'd be willing myself to have my name scratched out of the book of life if you'd save my people. What was he doing? His whole desire was to get his people saved. What was he doing? He was ministering to man. He was also ministering to the Lord because his whole desire was in it. You recall the time when Moses came to God and the Israelites had been encamped at a certain place and God said, now Moses, it's time for you to move on. Moses said, Lord, go with us. Lord said, Moses, I'm too busy. I can't go with you. I've got the whole universe to run. I've got to get because the sun rises in the morning, set in the evening. I've got stars to keep in their places. I've got birds to feed and cattle to feed. And I've got fish to feed. I've got too much to do. Moses said, you haven't got too much to do to go with us. God said, I can't go. Moses said, if you don't go, we don't go. God said, well, tell you what I'll do. I'll send an angel with you. Moses said, I don't even know the angel's name. And if you think I'm going to follow a stranger, you've got another thing coming. Now Moses said, God, you go or we don't go. And God said, okay, okay, okay. If you insist, I'll go. I think God wanted to go all the time. I think God wanted Moses to care. I think Moses, when he quit ministering to people and started ministering to God, then God decided he'd go. There's only one thing wrong with America, and I was watching Jesse Jackson the other day, and I got thinking, would it be good if Christians get that excited? Of course, if we did, we'd be fanatics. He's not. That's freedom fighting. But a preacher. Well, he's Reverend Jackson. Are you getting the idea that I'm not for Reverend Jackson? I don't want to let that leak through tonight. I somehow want you to know that I'm neutral in politics all the way through. Funny thing. Back in the 60s, Rap Brown could do it, and they call that fighting for your rights. Fundamental Preacher does it. They call that rabble rousing. I mean, Jane Fonda can do it. God pity her soul. Jane Fonda can do it. They call that fighting for your rights. A bunch of Christians do it. Funny thing, these politicians over here, they go out and knock on doors. Mayor McDermott's got warts all over his fingers, knocking on doors, and he's got wart in where he's been pushing doorbells. And I bet you a quarter. No, I don't believe in betting. That's not right. I'll bet you a dime. He can knock on doors, and that's accepted. We can knock on doors, and that's fanaticism. He can knock on doors wanting to get himself elected. Nothing wrong with that. And it's okay. We can knock on doors wanting to get Jesus elected, and that's wrong. But it's not wrong. I was in college for 3 years taking phonetics before I found out it wasn't phonetics. I refuse to let Mayor McDermott get more excited about his politics than I do about my Savior. I refuse to let Jane Fonda get more excited about her communistic leanings than I do about my Savior. I refuse to let Rap Brown scream louder than Jack Hyles screams. I'm simply saying there was a day when the people who were Christian people, it meant something to them. They did more than tip God. They ministered to God because they gave Him their whole hearts and their whole souls. The widow ministered to the Lord in Luke 11. When she went to the judge and she said, "Judge, avenge me of my adversary," and I preached on this the other night. And the judge, she kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And with all her heart, she gave all of her heart. She ministered to the Lord. The little lady that came to Jesus and asked a favor of Him. And Jesus said, "You're a Gentile. What right do you, to have being a Gentile, have to ask a favor of me?" She said, "But Lord, I need your help." And Jesus said, "Well, Gentiles are dogs." Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus was not saying she was a dog. He was wanting to know how much she wanted. And He said, "But Gentiles are dogs." And she kept on arguing. She said, "The dogs have a right to stay under the table and get the crumbs off the table." And Jesus gave her request. You know why? Because she prayed with all her heart. She sought Him with all her heart. She ministered to the Lord. Listen, God wants to do things for you. He just wants you to want it with all your heart. That's all. The friend in Luke 11 ministered to the Lord when he would not take no for an answer. When he said, "A friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Lend me 3 loaves. He ministered to the Lord because he gave his entire heart. The little lady, remember the time that Jesus was in a crowd, and all of a sudden in that crowd, He said, "I felt virtue leave me. I felt virtue." There was a lady there that was possessed of an issue of blood that she came and she said, "I'm going to touch Him. I'm going to touch Him." But the crowd was there. "I'm going to touch Him. I'm going to touch Him." They said, "Lady, get away." She said, "I'm going to touch Him." And touch Him she would, and touch Him she did. And Jesus said, "I feel virtue leave me." What was it? She ministered to Him. He wanted her to want Him. And she sought Him with all of her heart, and she ministered to Him. I know a preacher. He pastors a church that at one time was a large, great church in this nation. He built that church from nothing. He started that church and built it up about 3,000 people in attendance in a matter of just a few years. I'm talking about probably 12, 14 years. I asked him one time, I said, "Why? How did you do it?" He said to me, he said, "Dr. Hiles, the thing I wanted more than anything else in this world was to build a great church." He said, "I had to build a church. I must build a church." He said, "It's the thing that I wanted more than I wanted life, more than I wanted food, more than I wanted anything in this world. I was possessed." Now, that kind of fellow builds a big church. But wait a minute. That same preacher has gotten off on secondary things. Now, gotten into politics and spent so much time in politics, and his church has gone way, way down. You know why? He quit giving it all he had. Now, listen. I want everybody here to continue giving whatever you're giving, serve however you're serving. If you just serve a little bit and you're helping somebody, that's mighty good. I would love for our people to get to the place to where we're ministering to God as well as to poor people. Ministering to God as well as to the unsaved people. I want you to do what you will, but there is a place where you can listen. When I was a young preacher, 40 years ago, I decided I was going to have the power of God upon my life. And I decided that nothing was going to keep me from having the power of God upon my life. And I went out in the woods, and I begged, and I pleaded, and I begged, and I pleaded, and I begged, and I pleaded, and I said, "God, I'm going to have your power. I'm not going to be a normal preacher. I'm not going to be an average preacher. I want your power. Oh, God, give me your power. Oh, God, give me your power. I've got to have your power. I cannot preach in my own strength." I was consumed with it, totally consumed with it. And then, of course, you know the story about my father's death and how that God gave me a special endowment of His dear, wonderful power. And why did God do that? I ministered to Him. The person that prays all night is ministering to the Lord. The person that tarries in prayer is ministering to the Lord. The person that begs God to save sinners is ministering to the Lord. The person that gives it all he's got in whatever area of service for God he's doing, he's ministering to the Lord. I have such a desire now. I have one great desire. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe with all of my heart in Christian political leaders. All the governors of this state, I have known personally, every one of them. I knew Governor Bowen, Dr. Bowen, personally. And he's been in our church on numbers of occasions. I knew Governor Whitcomb personally. He, in fact, still, sometimes when I'm preaching around the country, Governor Whitcomb will come to hear me speak. And I know him well. I know Governor Orr personally. And I thank God for it. I mean that. I thank God for politics, but I won't say this, as I said many, many times. The answer to America is not wrapped up in politicians. I think the direction of America can be enhanced, and I believe with all of my heart that you ought to vote for these good conservative men. I mean that with all my heart. But brother, we found Mr. Reagan, though he was a good president, I think, and is a good president, he's not saved this country. This country is no more near being saved right now than she was 8 years ago. I'm for most of the things that he's done. But the answer for America, brother, is the same answer for Sodom. We've got to get enough righteous people in this country so God will spare this country. And the hope for America is divine intervention. I've given my life since 1966. I've given my life one consuming passion to do what I could to travel around this country and stir preachers and get preachers to build soul-winning churches and preach clean living so that we could have a righteous, that is, imputed righteousness, and righteous, that means practical righteous living, nation, so God could look down from heaven and God could say, there are too many righteous people in America for me to destroy America, and God, through divine intervention, will save this nation. Jericho wasn't saved because they had precinct captains. Jericho was saved because God divinely intervened. I mean God gave the victory to Jericho, and God divinely intervened. I'm saying that our nation will be saved. The trouble with America tonight is not the wicked crowd, it's the Christian crowd. Didn't say if the devil's people called by the devil's name will humble themselves. No, said if my people are called by my name. Christian people, indifferent, lackadaisical, at ease in Zion. That's what's causing trouble in America. Abraham ministered to the Lord. When six times he came to God and said, please spare the city of Sodom. Finally he said, Lord, let not my Lord be angry. He gave his whole heart to begging God to spare Sodom. Ladies and gentlemen, I am consumed and have been for these 22 years. I'm consumed with doing my best to do what I can do to see to it that this little girl down here has a nation like you and I have known. I've given my life to it. I've gone day and night for it. It's a passion with me. It's a compassion with me. It's a whole desire for me. And I think that ministers to the Lord. Jacob ministered to the Lord. All night long he prayed and wrestled with God. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. Dr. Rice used to say, I think that was a rigged wrestling match. Here's Jacob wrestling with an angel. You think that angel couldn't have got loose from Jacob? I'm not going to let you go. The angel said, Let me go, Jacob. You think the angel wanted to go? No, the angel wanted Jacob to hold him. He just wanted Jacob to want him enough to fight with him. Did you ever hold a little something over a little dog's mouth? Jump. That's what your wife does, isn't it, sometimes? Jump. That's the question. You try to starve the dog to death? No, you want the dog to want the piece of meat. That's all. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. And the angel said, as Dr. Rice, you said, let me go. It's getting close to morning. If people see an angel out here wrestling with a preacher, it'll be a scandal to the Jaybirds. I've got to get out of here. And no, the angel wanted Jacob to keep wrestling. He just wanted Jacob to want him. That's all. Remember when Jesus was walking down the road to Emmaus in his resurrection body now? Remember, they came to Emmaus. The disciples came to Emmaus. And you've heard me teach this time and time again. They came to Emmaus. And the disciples said, Jesus, won't you go eat with us? And Jesus said, oh, no. Now, he wanted to go. And he was going to go. But he wanted to be wanted to go. Anybody ever ask you that? Won't you stay for dinner? You look at there, and there it is on the table. I mean, laid out. God's favorite food. Turnip greens and fried okra and squash. And black-eyed peas all laid out there on the table. And they, won't you stay for dinner? You say, oh, no. Oh, come on. Okay, I think I will. Now, that's exactly the way Jesus was. Jesus came to Emmaus. They said, Jesus, won't you stay and eat? Oh, no. He said, that's okay. Oh, come on, Jesus. Okay, I think I will. That's exactly what he did. He wanted to stay. Look, Jesus wants you, but he wants you to want him. He wants you to minister to others, but he wants you to minister with all of your heart and to seek him with all of your heart and to love him with all your... Listen, you young preachers going out from Hiles Anderson College, don't you go out here to be reverend. You go out here to be men of God. Don't you go out of here just to hold a few people together for a little worship every Sunday morning. You get out of here with the fire of God in your bones, the zeal of God in your soul, burning up for Jesus. Saying we've got to reach people for Christ lest they go to hell and burn forever. We've got to save a nation. We've got to reach a nation for God. Get out of here and lose yourself in the service for Christ and give it all you've got. Adolf Rupp, if the guy I talked to on the airplane, if he can get wrapped up in bouncing a ball. Think about that for a second. His whole life was given teaching fellows how to take that ball and throw it through a basket. Boy, that's life-changing, isn't it? I mean, look at Tom Landry and Shula and Mike Ditka. They're giving their whole life teaching a bunch of fellas how to kill a pig, blow it back up and sew it in oblong shape, fill it up with air, kick that dead pig across the pasture through some plumbing, down at the end of the field. Big deal, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, big deal. They give a guy $1 million a year if he carries that little pig real well. Doesn't make him squeal. Give a guy $1 million a year. Boy, I thank God. I just thank God I'm in the big leagues. I thank God I'm not giving my life to pig chasing. Thank God I'm not giving my life to the ball bouncing. I thank God that I'm giving my life to the eternal God, the God who wrote this book and the God who rules and reigns in heaven. And I will not give it less than Mike Ditka gives the Bears. I will not give it less than Tom Landry gives the Cowboys. I will not give it less than Adolph Rupp gave the Kentucky Wildcats. I will not do it. I will not give it less than Jane Fonda gives it. I will not give it less than Rap Brown gave it. I will not give it less than Jesse Jackson gave it. And I went to hear Howells. He's sort of a fanatic. That's strange. Dukakis is not a fanatic. That's strange. Jesse Jackson's not a fanatic. That's strange. Bush is not a fanatic. That's strange. McDermott's not a fanatic. No, yes, he is. Yes, he is. But that's strange. No, I'm saying, what's wrong with me giving Jesus as much as he gives politics? What's wrong with the church being as concerned about the souls of men as people are about the bodies of men? As you know, I had a little flare-up this weekend. I was in the hospital. Doctors gathered around me. I mean, but they rushed me in an ambulance to the hospital. Did you hear that? Yeah. And they gathered around me. It was a big deal. The doctor there knew me. Had heard me preach. A Christian man. Neurosurgeon said this morning they gave me a CAT scan of my brain and they found nothing up there. And but I got to thinking, if we gathered around one unsaved man to try to keep him out of hell and get him to heaven, everybody would call us nuts and fanatics. You can drive down the streets of Hammond. I think I'll get a gripe off my chest here. You can drive down the streets of Hammond. By the way, I want to thank you, Mayor, for that stoplight out here. I've said an awful lot. I'm not criticizing politicians. I love this man over here. And we moved this stoplight out here. They put it on caution. And you remember how they made the Grand Prix races were going out here? We called the mayor, and within 6 months it was changed. And I mean, you can't expect him to do anything overnight. He's got a board of deacons down here he's got to work with. No, it was changed right away, really. And I certainly am not minimizing anything. I am simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, I do not understand why God's people can't get excited about the reality of the Word of God and the things of God in comparison or in the same ratio, proportion, that people get excited about the world. Super Bowl. 22 big oxen are going to try to kill each other. Folks are more concerned about the fridge's weight than the fridge. You're too spiritual, aren't you? They're more concerned about the fridge's weight. And, of course, we get concerned about stuff like that, and we're sort of fools. I just don't believe in talking about religion. If I had little as you did, I wouldn't believe in it either. Are you telling me that if there is... Okay, the question is that book true or not? All right? If that book is true, then there is a heaven. Because that book says there's a place that has golden streets and gates of pearl. If that book is true, there is a hell. If that book is true, hell has fire. Bible says, then should have said to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye wicked, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those not found written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire. Now listen to me. The question is the book true? If it's not true, forget it. If it's true, there's a heaven. If it's true, there's a hell. If it's true, Jesus is the way to heaven. If that be true, then Jesus is the way not to go to hell. You mean to tell me that if this book is true and there is a hell and there is a heaven, and Jesus is the way, do you mean to tell me we shouldn't get excited about trying to get folks to trust Jesus? I'm not talking about becoming a Baptist. I'm talking about joining anybody's religion. I'm just talking. Every time I go out there to the airport, somebody tries to sell me one of these books, Hare Krishna people. I was at the Washington, D.C. airport, and I got so tired of folks wanting to sell me carnations. Remember they used to do that? Try to sell you a carnation, the Hare Krishna people. Well, I got tired of it, and I went to Washington, D.C. airport where they have a flower shop, and I bought me a dozen carnations. And I went to every one of those people, and I said, I want to sell you a carnation. They're not going to be more excited about their error than I am about the truth of the living God. Not going to do it. Now, that's the way you minister to the Lord. You minister to the Lord when you do it with all your heart. When you pray with all your heart, you serve with all your heart, you give with all your heart, then you are ministering to Him as well as to others. Let me say again, I'm for everybody that ministers to somebody else. I'm not opposed to when people stop you on the street here and want you to give to the Handicapped Children's Fund. That doesn't bother me at all. Not at all. I was over in Chicago the other day going to Midway Airport. And there was a little lady there on the side. She walked up. She had a little container. And I said, what is it for? Contribution for? She said, it's for missions. I said, let me see. She said, here it explains it. Well, I read it. I knew the mission project. I knew what it was about. And I gave an offering. I'm willing to sacrifice a nickel for anything like that. And I think that's good. I'm not against that. Because I think we ought to minister to our fellow man. But there is a way that you can so minister and so be wrapped up in that. Okay, like Maxine Jeffries is to the deaf. Like Bill Shutt is to the deaf. Maxine lives for those deaf people. It's her life. She doesn't just every once in a while decide she's going to take a flower to some deaf person. It's her life! So she's ministering to them. She's also ministering to the Lord. Elmer Fernandez here working with our Spanish-speaking people. He ministers to God. He doesn't just every once in a while talk to a few Spanish-speaking people and try to help them and feed them and clothe them. No, sir. His whole life is wrapped up in the Spanish-speaking ministry. He's ministering to God. And that's what I want to do, and that's what I want you to do. I want us to, and as long as you're ministering and giving anything, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to criticize you for it. But I want to say there is something better. There is a way that you can get to the place to where your service for God is service to God. There is a way where you can witness, where you witness unto Him. You go knock on a door. Hello, I'm a First Baptist Church. We've come to invite you to our church. That's wonderful. And that's ministering to them. But you go knock on a door and you say, hello, I'm from First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I'd like to talk to you a few minutes. Could I ask you a question? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? No, I don't. Oh, I wish you knew. And before you went, you said, oh, God, help me. Help me that I may get the message to them. And the Lord says, hot dog. I'm sorry. He says, amen. He says, I like that. I like that. He likes it when you do it with all your heart. I've had occasion in the last few hours to have some wonderful, wonderful expressions of love. And that ministers to me. I told the Lord a while ago, out in the woods when I was talking to Him, I was reading a letter from one of our ladies, one of the sweetest letters you ever read in your life. And she said, Brother Hiles, she said, I never realized you were human before. She said, you've never been human to me. She said, for the first time in my life, I realize you're human. And she said, please take care of yourself. And she kept on begging me to take care of myself. I'm going to do it. I promise God, I'm going to eat twice as many cheese quarter pounders. I'm going to be healthy. I'm just going to be healthy. I tell you what, it's the least I can do. I read that letter. Now, that wasn't a letter that said to me, dear Brother Hiles, take care of yourself. No, it wasn't just that. She poured out her soul. She said, Brother Hiles, please take care of yourself. We need you. I thought about writing you many times, she said. But she said, I just put it off. But I wanted you to know, Brother Hiles, we can't do without you. And that ministered to me. That's what the Lord's talking about. And I said to the Lord, I said, I hope I love you enough to where I minister to you. I want you to know I love you. I want to serve you. So you'll look and say, he's ministering to me. He's witnessing unto me. I'll close with this. All the Lord is doing is saying, I want to feel needed. I just want to feel needed, that's all. I just want you to put me first. That's all. Those of you that know me know that we have four children, three girls and one boy. Our oldest daughter is Becky. When I was in the hospital the other day, Becky called down to Bob Jones University. She didn't go and talk to anybody. She got with Dr. Bob himself. Everybody else was talking to the switchboard operators. Becky got all the way through Dr. Bob. Becky called me one night, late at night, and most of you have heard me tell this. I'm sure I've told it in this sermon already. You'd be proud of me. I resolved tonight I was going to tell the same illustration three times and act like it was not there on purpose. But I'm just too nice a guy for that. But Becky called me. I picked up the phone. I said, hello. I just thought that'd be a good thing to say. And I said, hello. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, she said, Daddy. I said, Puddin'. I call all the girls Puddin'. Puddin' 1, Puddin' 2, Puddin' 3. Cindy's dark complected. I call her Chocolate Puddin'. And I call them all Puddin'. I said, Puddin'. I said, what? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. What are you calling me for? She said, Daddy, I just had to hear your voice. This has been quite a while ago. And I said, Puddin', are you all right? She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Trina all right? That's the oldest granddaughter. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Teresa all right? That's the middle granddaughter. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Trent all right? That's the grandson, the baby. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Tim all right? That's the son-in-law. She said, yes, sir. I said, oh. And she said, I said, Puddin', why are you calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning? And Becky said, Daddy, I just had to hear your voice. She said, the children have not been good today. And she said, Daddy, you always knew how to handle us. And I just wanted to be a little girl. And I just wanted my daddy. That ministered to me. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you want me that much, that ministers to him. Suppose she'd have called me and she'd have said, hey, Dad. She's a church pianist and she's a songwriter and a poet. She said, Dad, I got a new song I wrote. I want to sing it to you. I said, at 1 o'clock in the morning? Next thing she'd have heard was a click. I'm not interested in hearing my daughter sing at 1 o'clock in the morning. If I want some music at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll sing myself and hear first-class music. Paul should have said, Dad, I want to sing a song I just wrote. I said, call me back when I get up at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm not interested in that. That didn't minister to me at all. Paul should have said, hey, Dad, old Tim's got a new sermon. It's the best sermon he's ever had. He wants to preach it to you. 1 o'clock in the morning? Preach it to me? Let him preach it to the operator. She's not going to preach it to me. I'm not going to listen. But she said, Daddy, I just needed to hear your voice. I had to talk to you. And then she said the sweetest things ever been said to me, I guess. She said, inside this 35-year-old woman's body, there's still a little 3-year-old golden-haired girl that worships her daddy.